Go to Psalm 91. We'll start here tonight, and we'll begin sharing something. I was praying, woke up last night. I don't know what time I woke up, but started praying. And I just had it in my heart to pray more in the Spirit. And as, I don't know, maybe, I don't think it was 45 minutes, maybe close to 30, 40 minutes, something like that. After praying in the Spirit for a while, I started asking, and I had been asking the Lord, but in this time of prayer last night, I started asking the Lord. I said, Lord, you said something to me back during the election in 2016, right after our president was elected. You said something to me. Actually, you showed me a vision. And in that vision spoke things. And I saw the president's term, the current president, President Donald Trump, his term in office. And I saw the length of it. And I saw a second term. And I saw the begin. I don't know how to describe spiritual things. Sometimes they're hard to describe. But it's like you're looking down through a corridor of time. And you can see time. You know. And I saw the 8 years. That's all I was allowed to see. You say, is he going to be elected for another 4 years? I believe so. But I don't believe it's just up to God. I believe it's up to the church. You know, nothing that is God's plan is just automatic because it's his plan. So we've got to be people who stand in faith. Now, you might say, well, I don't want him to be in another time. Okay, well, you pray and find out who God wants you to vote for. Okay, this is not about politics tonight. So, but I'm telling you what I saw. And this congregation knows our track record. And knows it's not flaky and knows we don't say things that, you know, we've God's shown me every president since President George Bush Jr. Actually, before that, but anyway, showed me a lot of things. And so, but anyway, I was praying last night and I said, Lord, I said, you showed me that. And you showed me that his whole term. Two terms, and you showed me at not right at the beginning, but the first half. I don't know how to describe it. It wasn't right at the beginning, but it was like a little bit into it, and then there was a dark cloud hanging over that second part, that second 4 years, and I didn't know what that was. In fact, to be honest with you, I've prayed about that off and on. Since that time, not every day, not every week, probably not even every month, but just for different seasons, I'll start thinking about that and get to praying about that again. And there's different things God has said to me about it, but I've never thought I've gotten full revelation of what that was, that dark cloud. And so we need to continue to pray. Because back when in March of this year, the Lord... whenever the COVID epidemic started and, you know, they started limiting church meetings and so forth, we went to prayer about it. And I think I told you about the experience that we had after a few weeks of praying. We were praying out in the Spirit about this thing and how the Lord dealt with me. It's time to go talk to the governor. Well, I don't know the governor. I can't go talk to the governor. I don't know if you remember me sharing. I shared that one time. And I called her. I had a friend of mine on my heart, you know, Pastor Bill Tweed, Sam's father. Did Sam go? Where did Sam go? Good. I'll tell you, some of the best folk in Iowa besides us. I'm kidding. But they're just good, solid friends. We really enjoy their fellowship. And so I had him on my heart because one of the ways God uses him is in the area of talking to political leaders and so forth. And I told him, he was sharing some things with me on the phone a couple of days, well, I guess a couple of weeks ago now, about some things God shows him about how the church is to interact with government officials and so forth. And I said, now you're going to write a book about that, aren't you? He said, well, I think my wife has told me I need to write a book. I said, I'm telling you, you need to write a book. Forget your wife. I'm telling you, you need to. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But I said, and I'll help you pay for it. That might have got his attention. We'll see if he's going to obey God here or not. And so, but anyway, I was talking. I got it on my heart to call him. So I called him right after this time of prayer where the Lord, actually in the time of prayer, I'm going roundabout to get to this verse here. In that time of prayer, we've prayed for about 3 weeks, and I got it in my heart. I heard the Spirit say, 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And I didn't know what. See, you got to be careful putting your own interpretation on things that you hear in the Spirit. Sometimes you can get put your own interpretation on it and miss it by 1,000 miles. You know, you could be praying. I use this silly illustration. You could be praying, and you get the word June. And you might think, whoop, the month of June. Something good's going to happen in the month of June. It might not have been June at all. You might have been praying against a June bug invasion. You don't know. You got to be careful is what I'm saying. And so I just got something about 2 weeks. And I knew it's time for somebody to talk to our governor. I wanted somebody to talk to him about making calling the churches essential. How far the church has fallen that in a time like that, we don't have enough healing power in manifestation that the governor or the people that lead in government officials say, well, we need the churches to be in operation so the sick can be healed. I mean, it's, but anyway, so I said, that was just my thinking because that would be a big step for the churches to be considered essential. Now, in all reality, that's not even scriptural, that government called the church essential. Our rights don't come from government. But that I just thought that'd be a good step, you know, to get back and get the church meeting again. Anyway, now that I'm going into this deeper, I'll tell the whole story. So I called my friend, Pastor Bill Tweed, and I talked small talk for a while, and we talked about, you know, how they're doing everything. And they were doing great. In fact, he said, I don't know where all the finances are coming from, but we're doing better off. I said, we are too. We are too. And he said, well, I just wanted to call you because it got it in my heart. It's time to go talk to the governor. I prayed some things out. And I got it in my heart, somebody needs to go talk to them. I said, I don't know the governor. I said, I know you. God deals with you in these areas, and there's a lot more behind the scenes that he does and knows, but knows people and so forth. And I was talking to him. He said this on the phone. Something just came in my heart. He said, I know who it is. I know who it is. And Bob Vanderplatt, I don't know if you remember, he ran for governor here one time. But he's a part or was leader of the family leader here in Iowa. Basically a family, advocate for the family or, lobbyist. You might call him a lobbyist, Christian group. And so, he said, I'll call him. He said, in fact, I'll call him right now. So we hung up. He called, and he said, I'll call you back when I get information. So he called back, and he said, that's the push. He talked to Bob Vanderplatt. That's the push that I needed because he's friends with our governor, Governor Kim Reynolds. And he said, that's the push I needed to give me the boldness. Do you hear that? Yeah. See, that's what we were bringing a supply in prayer for boldness. Yes. Somebody needed the boldness to go and plead the church's case. So he said, that's the push I needed to go talk to the governor. And he said, I'm not going to make a formal petition or whatever. He said, because sometimes that turns politicians off. I'm just going to go as a friend, as a fellow believer. We go to the same church, he said. Kim Reynolds. He said, Pastor Bill Tweed told me this. He said, did you know Kim Reynolds, our governor, has a real good testimony of her new birth? I said, no, I didn't know that. He said, yeah. He said, I was in a group of pastors where she broke down crying like a baby. Telling her testimony about how whenever she came to the Lord, she was set free from alcohol. I said, well, I didn't know that. Praise God. God delivered her from alcohol. And so look at what he did with her. Raised her up, using her. Thank God. That's because of God that did that in her life. So he said, You know, she's a very open Christian. I mean, she's open to the things of God and so forth. I said, well, good. I said, you know what? I said, then that needs to be one of our points to plead. I said, the church was essential in your life, Governor. You're free from alcohol, dear Governor. The church is essential. You know how essential it was in your life. And so we need to go in there and just say the churches need to be considered essential. Like I said, that's not even enough. I mean, it's, we get our rights from... But you know, how many of you want to be at peace as much as you can? And so, but anyway, so that Bob prayed and he went in and talked to the governor. And within 10 days or so, something like that, and it was probably by the time it all happened, about 2 weeks, the governor came out and made the announcement. She said, now she used some of these terms. You can go look at the declaration or whatever they call it, and you can see these terms. She said, we as the government, civil government leaders, we have no jurisdiction over the churches. They are autonomous, or they are independent, or whatever the word was, from us, and we can't dictate that they don't meet. We suggest they follow these guidelines just to be wise, but we're going to leave it up to them to do what they feel right. I don't know if you've ever heard a government official say something like that. Well, that's the result of praying. That doesn't just happen. In fact, in a lot of states, it's not happening. Now, so don't, but see, you could get off on, or we could get off on our high horse spiritually and say, well, bless God, if these other churches in these other states, if they'd pray, use their authority, you know, like we did, you know, they'd be able to meet. Now, well, how many of you know our governor's pliable to the things of God? Some of them are anti-Christian. How many of you know, for example, whenever Moses went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go? Yes. Pharaoh needed 10 hard spankings before he would do anything. I mean, the last one was a hard one. Finally, he said, get out of here. You know, I'm just tired of looking at you all. Fine. Bye-bye. You know. So don't, you know, we have to understand other people are dealing with different kinds of situations, but they'll get it. Just watch. Amen. Well, so that's just one area of our prayer life. God uses us a lot in. But this other area where I was talking about the government, I mean, when I was talking about the president, the term, the Lord showed me that. And then during our prayer time for in concerning the churches getting back together for the COVID, after the COVID thing hit, one of the things that I started seeing in the spirit beyond just the COVID thing, and God, I kept praying out reprieve, reprieve. God's given us a reprieve. He was talking about the nation. And talking about, and there was a lot to that time of prayer. I didn't bring the notes tonight, but you can see from the notes the things that came out in English. He was talking about bigger things than just the turning of this COVID thing. And that there would be a reprieve before the election. And then I saw that after that, there's some pretty hard stuff going to hit again. I don't mean disease. Maybe it may. See, that's one thing. I still haven't got. So I'm still not satisfied that I've gotten a full picture of what that dark cloud really was. But we need to be people that are praying about that. Dark cloud represents oppression. It represents the work of the enemy. And I'll tell you this, that it was only for a season. It didn't go the whole term. Amen. And it didn't, and he fulfilled his whole term. Praise God. That was in the vision. I saw all that. But yet we need to be praying about this. And it seems like, it just seems like that one thing that is coming after the election is some financial shaking or something. And I can't tell you exactly. If I knew more, I'd tell you more. But I just have a sense about it. Now, that's not to make us afraid. Amen. But I've been praying about that. Last night I was up and I was praying about it. And I was And I prayed in the Spirit for a while. I really didn't think much about what I was praying about, just building up myself, praying out the plan of God, praying out mysteries, praying out talking secrets with my Father. Future plans being laid out and prayed out, and so we can walk them out. Amen. That needs to be a lifestyle with you. Spirit-filled people ought to pray much in the Holy Ghost. And people that aren't filled with the Spirit need to get filled with the Spirit and pray much in the Holy Ghost. Praying in tongues. And so, so I was praying. Now, I wasn't thinking much about what I was praying about. In fact, I wasn't thinking about the government or that revelation that I had. I just praying, building up myself. And after about, I would say, 30 minutes or so, I started saying, Lord, I've been asking you about that dark cloud, and I've been asking you, praying about that, and I've been asking you, how can we change that? You know, God doesn't just show us things so we can walk around and say we know. And he doesn't show us things because they are his, when it comes to darkness or oppression or the work of the enemy. He doesn't show us future things where what the enemy's going to try to do so that we can, in other words, he doesn't show it because it's his will. He shows us because he wants us to pray about it and change things. And I've been doing that, and I'm encouraging you to do that as a congregation. Anyone listening online? Take that up and let's get this thing changed. Yes. Find out what we can change. Yes. And I was praying about it again last night, and I said, Lord, I've been asking you what we can change, how much of that we can change. Because some things you can pray and change it, take authority over it, change it. And some things you can't. But see, whatever happens out in the world doesn't belong to the church. Whatever hardship, plague, epidemic, economic downturn, whatever, upheavals, social upheavals, whatever, that doesn't belong to the church. That's all out there in the world where they're under the sway of these demon forces that are swaying things one way or another. Hallelujah. Remember the Bible said that in Ephesians, there it says, weapons of our warfare. Well, in Ephesians chapter number 6, actually, he says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God and may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Remember that? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. You want to learn about that, get that new series. But he said, wicked spirits in heavenly places, or that doesn't mean in heaven. They've been kicked out of heaven. He's talking about the atmosphere in the air. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's in the atmosphere of this earth and all the forces of darkness. And you can sense those forces working in the nation at certain times, pushing things certain directions. All this upheaval in the social realm in recent months or weeks, I guess I should say, that's all demonic forces swaying big masses of people, trying to. The church is responsible in every nation to take authority over those things. Yeah. Come on. Come on. Yes. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So, but that's not my subject tonight. I'm getting to a point here in Psalm 91. So I was praying. Tell your neighbor, hey, last night Pastor was praying. He's trying to get us this information. And I said, Lord, I've been asking you how much of that we can change. I've been praying about that. I've been taking authority over that. That dark cloud, that means oppression. You ever notice in the Bible, darkness means the powers of darkness, refers to the powers of darkness. So I'm praying about that. And so, I prayed more, maybe just a couple more minutes in the Holy Ghost. And I heard the Lord say something about it. The only thing he said to me since. And I want to share it with you. Amen. You want to hear what he said? Actually, I didn't write it down as I should have. And later I said, man, I should have written that down. So I'll paraphrase. Amen. If you want to hear what the Lord said. So basically paraphrasing what the Lord put in my heart. He said that. Those that dwell in the secret place will come through this situation without being affected by it. Amen. He said, in that secret place, I'll tell them what to do. You need to grab that. Don't sit and look and bat your eyes, and then when it comes, go, oh, okay, what was it that the Spirit of God said?
Yeah.
Write it down. If I can get real strong with you, write it down.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And because now here's what you need to do. You need to become very interested in the secret place. Very interested in knowing what it is. Very interested in knowing how to dwell there. Live from that place.
Amen.
Amen. Because that's what the Lord said to me last night concerning this situation that I believe God's saying is on the horizon for our nation. That those who dwell in the secret place will come through it without being affected by it. Because in that secret place, I will tell them what to do. I remember the Lord one time told me, he said, now this is not the full revelation of what the secret place is. We're going to get into the secret place tonight. But he told me one time, he said, the reason I called it the secret place is it's the place I share my secrets.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And after he said that, I went, duh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
God has a plan. For everything the enemy is going to try to do, every strategy of the enemy against your life, against the church, the true church, God has a plan to get us through it with flying colors. In fact, to be honest with you, it ought to almost be that we're almost immune to the fact that it's even happening in the world. Barely even know it's happening. I constantly get out in public and get reminded, oh, that's right. The world's still having a pandemic. I see everybody, you know, doing certain, acting certain ways and stuff. I forgot. Because I haven't been having one. Since they shut stuff down in March, I've not been having one. I haven't been in a pandemic. I've been in the covenant. I've been in the blessing. I've been in my wealthy place. I've been in the blessed place. I've been walking in the blessing. I've been walking in divine health. Oh, you better not say that, Pastor Jay. The devil will hear you. He's the one I want to hear it. There is a place that you're kept. There is a place of safety. There is a place of refuge. There is a place where you're defended. There is a tent of God's power you can live under. A bubble of His presence. That it goes with you wherever you go. It's a degree of what Adam and Eve lost in the garden before they fell, before they sinned. They were clothed with the glory of God. They never knew they had a body. Well, they probably knew it, but they couldn't really see it because they were living in a cloud. Are you sure? Well, you remember the Bible said as soon as they sinned, they knew that at the moment, that moment they knew they were naked. Why didn't they know that before? Because they weren't.
Right.
Somebody said, yeah, but they weren't wearing clothes. No, they were clothed with the glory of God. With the glory of God. Amen. They were clothed with the glory of God. And listen, that's what God's saying. If you learn to dwell in the secret place, you can carry from that secret place a tent of God's presence that pitches itself over you. And you can walk around all day long in that tent of His glory. Remember Romans said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In sin, man loses that tent of glory. But in righteousness, well, that's restored. That potential is restored. Go to Romans chapter number 8. Go to Romans chapter number 8. If you can handle it. I am going to do it. I'm going to preach myself happy tonight. Bible said in verse number 26, the Spirit helps our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. He that makes intercession for us according to the will of God. And we know, the Amplified adds, that God being a partner in their labors, all things work together for good. To them that love God, them that are called according to His purpose. See, it's not independent. That verse is not independent of verse 26 and 27. It's not everything is working out for people's good. Some people are backsliding over things that are happening in their lives. That's not working out. No, it's everything that you let the Holy Ghost help you with.
Yeah.
Because verse 28 starts out, and. And. In other words, because they that yield to the Holy Ghost get the help of the Spirit and tap into the help of the Holy Ghost in what's coming against them. What Satan's trying to do, whenever they yield to the Holy Ghost and get his help and his power on the scene in the situation, that's why the Amplified says God being a partner in their labors in verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them to love God. Hallelujah. In other words, you get the Holy Ghost involved in it, it's going to work out for your good. Not just automatic because you love God, because verse 26 and 27 are connected to this. Right. And.
Come on now. Amen.
In other words, because we yield to the Holy Ghost.
That's right. Amen.
Not everything's working out according to God's will.
Right.
Only things that the Holy Ghost is allowed to work in.
Right.
Some things people don't want the Holy Ghost working in, so it doesn't work out according to His will.
Right. Right.
And that's one indication they don't love God. They don't yield to the Holy Ghost. It says in verse 28, them that love God. Well, there must be a connection between loving God and loving the Holy Ghost working in your life. And yielding to the Holy Ghost. Because of praying in the Holy Ghost last night, loving on God, praying in the Spirit, He said, now here's how you're going to get through that dark cloud. Woo, the Holy Ghost is helping us. But that's not what I wanted to get to. Look at verse 29. Verse 29 here in Romans chapter number 8, it says, remember, and God being a partner in their labors, like the Amplified says, all things work together for good to them that love God who are called according to His purpose. Verse number, I'm on the wrong page here. Verse number 29, it says, then for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, predestination doesn't mean what a lot of people think it means. A lot of people think that means God plans ahead of time who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. No, He didn't plan that. Whosoever will let him come. That's not God planning ahead of time who's saved and who's not. He knows ahead of time. And He planned ahead of time that anyone, say anyone, who responds to Him, this is what He planned ahead of time. Predestinated means planned ahead of time. That to be conformed, those who receive Him, they're conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's His plan from the foundation of the world. Anyone that receives Him, that He's planned ahead of time that they be conformed to the image of His Son. Verse 30, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen. Ooh, I'm going to get glorified one of these days. That's not what He said. He didn't say, gonna be glorified. Are you gonna be justified? He's not talking about something that's gonna happen. He's talking about something that's already happened. He has glorified you. In other words, He's filled you with His glory. He's moved in. Set up shop.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And the same glory that raised Jesus from the dead lives right on the inside of you. And there's a whole lot in me stirring about the glory right now. You ought to go through the New Testament and find out that, in fact, you would if you go through the New Testament, the glory is your inheritance. It belongs to you right now.
Amen.
So that's what He's talking about. He's talking about back in the Psalm 91, even in the Old Covenant, even people that weren't born again. We got a better covenant. But even in the Old Covenant, He said people could come into His presence. How many of you know back then it was through the blood of animals and so forth? But they could come into His presence. And so, because they were putting faith in the blood of an animal, which represented the future blood of Jesus, and because God was saying, because they had faith in the type of what was to come, I can put it to their account to righteousness. Hallelujah. They look forward to Jesus on the cross. We look back to what has already happened. Now, I haven't even got off my first page of notes yet, but He that dwelleth, let's go to Psalm 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord said to me, did you hear what the Lord said? I'll read it again. He said to me, that those that dwell in the secret place, he's talking about this thing coming, this dark place where I saw in the nation. Those that dwell, now I'm not saying this is all the revelation that there is about this to come, but I'm saying this is the first thing he said to me about it. Those that dwell in the secret place, notice he didn't say visit. Those that dwell in the secret place, in other words, make this your home, of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And the Lord said to me, those that dwell in the secret place, they'll come through this without being affected by it. Because in that secret place, I'll tell them what to do. Now, go over here. You're in Psalm 91. Go back to Psalm chapter number... let's go back to Psalm. I didn't write this down. You know where that psalm is. Tell me where it is. There's a psalm that says, Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Psalm 70-something. Praise the Lord. Anyway, yeah, Psalm 77, verse 13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? The sanctuary in the Old Testament is a type or is a term for the presence of God. That's where God's presence was. The presence of God was housed in a building back then. We today are the temple of the Holy Ghost. But he said, Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. You could say it this way, your way is in your presence. In other words, you'll show us your way. In other words, you'll show us the way to go. Huh? Come on now. You'll show us what to do in your presence. Everything you need is in God's presence. Now, when I say his presence, you might say, well, he lives right on the inside of me. Yes, but I'm talking about a place of communion and fellowship where you shut out the world, your own day, your own thoughts, you know, shut down your mind and fellowship and commune with him in your heart. And you spend time in the Spirit. Now, when we say in the Spirit, that's a New Testament term. It's mentioned, I don't know, six times or so, seven times. In different ways, it's mentioned a lot more than that. But that term is mentioned over and over in the New Testament. New Testament, the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament is the Old Testament, they did what they did in the flesh. We do what we do in the Spirit. And but even in the Old Testament, through faith in the blood of an animal, which was a type of the blood of Jesus to come, they could get into the presence of God. But they had to go through certain ceremonies and offerings of animals, you understand. But this secret place, he that dwells in the secret place, you could read this chapter or read this verse this way. He that lives in the Spirit. He that lives in the Spirit. Now, verse 14 we mentioned the other night, or I guess maybe it was Sunday. Sunday before last. I mentioned that verse 14 is a divine commentary about the secret place. Because he has set his love upon me. The secret place is a place where you go and love on Jesus. You go and you fellowship with him. But somebody said, well, if I go, where do I go? It's not a place in the flesh. It's not a place in the natural. You know, it's not a certain room, a certain building, like the church building here. We dedicated this building for the worship of God, but the presence of God doesn't live here because it's a holy building. We're the temple of God. It dwells here because we come together here. Otherwise, it's just a building. But the presence of God... when you fellowship and go and love on Jesus, you do that from your heart in the Spirit. Now, that's something that we as New Testament believers have to understand. And I personally have never been satisfied that I've communicated it very well. I think there's a series coming out on it. I don't know if we've even come out with that yet. Is that out yet? But there's a series coming out on it. But we're gonna have to learn, according to what Jesus told me last night in prayer, we're gonna have to learn to spend much more time in this place and learn how to go there and get our answers for what's coming. You're gonna have to know what to do. Well, I mean, we're gonna do the word, right? That's a good place to say amen. We're a word church. We're going to do the word. But somebody said, well, I know, but what part of it? See, that's where you got to just spend time with God, and you got to find out what he's saying to you. You got to find out what he's saying to you. Now, you read this whole chapter here. It's speaking because, you know, we could read this, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Though the Hebrew for shadow of the Almighty literally says in the Hebrew, defense of El Shaddai. The defense. God is light. There's no shadow of God. You know, here we there's so much light up here, you can't see many shadows of me. But you look down by yourself where there's light coming from only one direction, and you'll see a shadow. Anywhere you go, you'll see your shadow. You get outside in the sun, there's a shadow. Because you're not light yourself. I mean, spiritually you are, but you know what I mean. Your physical body is not lit up. So when you go out, you cast a shadow on the other side of the sun or the light. God has no shadow. He is light. So how are you going to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty? See, that's not a good translation. The word shadow means defense. What they were trying to say, see, old English, words change meanings. Old English, shadow used to mean a protected place, so forth. But now it means something different. Well, this is the defense of the Almighty. Defense of El Shaddai. Oh, how many of you know who El Shaddai is? The God who's more than enough. Praise God. So this chapter is talking about living in a protected place where you're kept from what's going on around you because of the protection of El Shaddai. The El Shaddai is the God who is more than enough. The one who is not limited by nature to provide or can actually move outside of natural laws and take care of his people even supernaturally beyond natural laws. Generally speaking, we're all living under natural laws that govern finance. I mean, you know, you put your hand to something and work and they give you a paycheck. Right? That's just natural. Sinners are out there doing that. Christians have something even on top of that. I said, we got something beyond that. You see it all through the Bible. God providing for his people supernaturally. He split the Red Sea, brought manna out of the sky. I mean, you just look at what God did. Flew in quail for millions of people. You know, he provided wine at the wedding. Jesus provided. He fed the 5,000. He told Peter where to get the tax money in the fish's mouth. I mean, you just go on and on and on. There's provisional miracles all through the Bible. And some of those things were beyond natural. In fact, all the ones I just mentioned were beyond natural. You can't say, well, I worked hard and earned that money. Peter didn't work hard for that tax money. He went fishing. I believe in going fishing, don't you? Somebody said, I got a need. Well, go fishing. This is a place. Dwelling in this secret place is a place where you get supernatural miracles. Because you get direction. He tells you what to do. And that's how Jesus did the miracles he did. He just said, I just do what I see my Father do. He'd be with his Father, and his Father would show him the provision of the multiplication of the bread and the fishes, and show him where the tax money was, the fish's mouth, and on and on. Where did Jesus get all that? He spent time with his Father. He fellowshipped with his Father, and he got divine ideas. He got direction. He got witty inventions, and he got all sorts of stuff. Praise God. Are you with me tonight? So, are you getting it? What the plan is for you to make it through that dark cloud that I saw? Maybe there's more. Maybe we can change some more. I'm not going to just stop right here in my prayer life and say, well, God said this. I'm going to start putting this to practice. But I'm going to keep saying, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over that dark cloud. I remember years ago, well, it wasn't, I don't know, 5 years ago, I kept having a sense. I'd get in the spirit in this place, a secret place, and I kept having a sense, and I kept seeing there's going to be something try to rise up out of the congregation and create a ruckus, create a problem. And every time I get in the spirit and see that, I said, no, you don't. No, you don't. See, God didn't show me that just so I could say I knew it. He shows us the plan of the enemy so we can stop it.
Amen.
So I said, no, I get over in the spirit. No, you don't. No, you don't. And that went on for maybe about a year. And then finally, the thing came into the congregation, and I saw that that's what it was. No, you can't do it. You can't do it. And if I told you the whole story, which I won't right now, but it was amazing how God got us out of that situation. That person was here to do nothing but harm to this congregation and sue this congregation, draw us into the lawsuit, draw us into all kinds of stuff. But they couldn't do it because of dwelling in the secret place and getting inside information. Way ahead of the devil's plans. Hallelujah. In that secret, here's two verses you need to write down. And let's go read them, in fact. In that secret place, he'll give you answers. He'll give you direction. In fact, this is something that, you're going to Psalm 25, but this is something that I heard over and over again before the COVID thing hit. Person after person said to me in this congregation, they said, you know, and looking back, the Lord was getting me ready for that thing the whole time, although I didn't know it was coming. See, how many of you know there might be something on the horizon Satan's getting ready to do that we don't know enough about? But if we'll follow the whole, in our secret place, we don't know why. The Lord keeps talking to us about this, And so we're building our faith in this area, releasing our faith, really making sure we're doing the word in this area, and really putting it to practice, and doing whatever he said. If he said, lay up some money, put some aside for just savings right now. Don't spend all your money right now. Put it aside. Whatever. Just do it. and whatever it is, the thing comes, and we sail right through it as if it never even was happening. In our lives, it was God had already prepared us for it. I believe we're the head, not the tail, don't you? That means whatever we're not assigned to running around behind the devil cleaning up his messes. Our faith is not to run around behind the devil and clean up his messes. Our main focus of faith ought to be spending time in his presence, getting the mind of God to know what to do, so we're always ahead of the devil.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's use our faith for that rather than clean up behind the devil's messes. Amen. But person after person in this congregation, they said to me, you know, looking back, God got us ready for this whole thing.
Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
See, you know why that's happening more? We're living more in the Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
We're living, not just going by what we see, but going by what's in here.
Yeah.
Spending time in His presence and waiting on the Lord until we get direction.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I've been asking God, if there's one thing I've prayed more, in fact, this one thing I have prayed about more and spoken over in faith more in the last year and 6 months than any one thing. Father, I'm calling for a greater manifestation of the Spirit of seeing and knowing. Greater revelation. Insight into the Word, number one. But also, we need the Spirit of seeing and knowing and manifestation to know ahead of time what we're to do, what God's plan is, so we can be a part of it. The Bible said, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I'm calling for understanding for all of us that we know what the will of the Lord is.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Father, like Solomon, I'm asking you for a wise and understanding heart, wisdom and discretion to make right decisions, insight into mysteries and secrets, into things that are hidden. I'm calling for them to be revealed. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding be enlightened. And I go on through there, pray that out. And then I just pray in the Holy Ghost. And I told my wife the other day, God spoke to me about something. I said, this is a result of praying that, just praying that, praying that. I'm going to stick with this until the church is full of revelation.
Amen.
Where we're all getting it.
Yes.
Not a one of us going, no. But all of us are going, you know, we know. We have an unction and we know. The anointing causes us to know. Teaches us. Hallelujah. We've not received the Spirit which is of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is eternal life, that we might know Him, the only true God, and Him, Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. Praise God, that we might know. We might know and have revelation of Him. Jesus, You said You'd build Your church upon this rock of revelation of Jesus and confession of His Lordship. And I thank You, Your church is being built and revelation is flowing. That's the way I'm praying. Pray it just consistently. Consistently. Hallelujah. But in this area of the spirit of seeing and knowing, we're talking about the revelation gifts. What is the revelation gifts? The word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Those three gifts reveal something. Word of wisdom reveals the future mind and plan of God. What God has in mind. Even if it's the plan of the enemy that God doesn't want for His will, God can show us so that we can avert it. Amen. And then, second of all, word of wisdom. That's concerning facts and data and things like, not future things about the plan of God, but things that are so right now. You see that in the book of Acts quite a bit. And then discerning of spirits, that's insight and revelation into the spirit realm. What demonic activity is happening. Also, what angels are doing. And even Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit can be seen in the spirit realm with that gift. You don't have it every day. Some people say I've heard people say, and I always guard myself against these kind of people, I hear God talk to me audibly every day. Or I see a vision of an angel every day. Yeah, and I'm watching out for you every day too. Nowhere in the Bible does people have that every day. But it does happen. And we need to be hungering for that because there needs to be visitations. I said more visitations. Because that's how things are going to be turned in the church. Yes. Turned. I mean, how did God get... Because the gospel was only going to the Jews at the beginning in the book of Acts. Yeah. But it was His plan for it to go to the Gentiles. Yeah. Yeah. How did God get that turned? Two visitations. Yeah. Peter on the housetop. Yes, remember that? Yes, don't call common and unclean what I've cleansed. And God was talking about the Gentiles can be saved just like the Jews. Yeah. And then Paul on the road to Damascus, you remember? I struck him down and said, I'm Jesus whom you persecuted. Go into the city to be told you what you must do. He went into the city. One named Ananias had a vision. Go lay hands on Paul that he might receive his sight. And then he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. So there's God getting the gospel to the Gentiles through the vision to Peter and the vision to Paul. And that'll get some things turned around in our day just as quick as lickety-split, just like that. And so I'm praying, God, we would need a greater manifestation of the spirit of seeing and knowing. I'm looking for some angels to show up in some of these dud preachers' offices. Preaching a watered-down gospel or no gospel at all. Taking people through deconstruction. I don't know if you know. I've been studying a little bit what's going on out there, and it's absolutely appalling what's going on. Deconstructing them. Well, you believe in the virgin birth because your mama dead and your grandmama dead, and you see, but you know, and they try to deconstruct all that they're believing, take away everything. Jesus was not, death was not substitutionary. It was only as an example, and so he wasn't a substitute for our sin. He was just an example of bearing another sin, and all this stuff. It's getting crazy out there. These people aren't even the church. When you hear the term progressive church Christianity, run. That's who I'm talking about. This group calls progressive Christianity. Deconstructing the basic foundations of the faith. And then, listen to me. And then they have a doctrine now called the sin of certainty. In other words, if you're certain about anything, that there's only one way, well, that's wrong because you're not open to another way. And so the sin of certainty. The Bible says the exact opposite. It calls whatever's not of faith sin. You see how the devil lies and deceives people? Anyway, how'd I get on that? I don't know how I got on that, but it's happening out there. That's why there are so many people in the church world. These people that I'm talking about aren't even Christians. But but so many of these people are going along with all the agenda of Marxism in our nation, socialism in our nation, and all the corruption and all the it's amazing. They're going along with, you know, Mother Earth and protecting the environment and giving their money to the environment. How about giving it for missionaries? It's getting wacko out there. I say out there because there. Do you realize there is a religious element to the spirit of Antichrist? There is a religious element to it. I didn't say a Christian element. I said religious. And there will be a whole group of religious people, not Christians, not people that are true born again people, but religious people that have religious teachings going along with the Antichrist. In fact, the false prophet is a religious leader standing beside the Antichrist trying to get every pointing everybody to the Antichrist. Just because they wear a robe doesn't mean they're spiritual or know God. You must be born again. Well, anyway. So, back to the secret place. Oh my goodness, it's already 8:27. I got three paragraphs in the first page, and I got five pages here, I believe. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages. Okay, after this, we'll have church session number 2, and you can stay in. But this here, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, if you read through this passage, the whole Psalm 91, you're in Psalm 25, I haven't forgot you there. But Psalm 91, you read through the whole Psalm 91, and he's talking about the... you know, giving his angels charge over you, no plague will come near your dwelling, and you know, nothing that'll hurt or you know. He talks about you'll tread on the lion and the adder, and he's talking about dangerous things and things that kill and destroy and plagues and diseases and all. So, really, what he's saying is, if a man lives in the secret place of the Most High, his life in the natural will be preserved. That makes sense. He will be kept and preserved in the life he lives in the natural. In other words, you can live in this bubble, this place, to where it's going on all around you, but it's not happening in your life. Now, even Paul in the New Testament said this. Remember whenever he besought the Lord 3 times that messenger of Satan would depart from him. And Jesus said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. That word infirmity doesn't mean sickness. You look it up, it means inability to produce results. Anybody ever come up to a place in life you could not produce results? Yeah, like anyone that's human. There's a place in all of our lives, in that area, we can't produce results. You ever decided, okay, I'm going to stop sinning in that area? And you do it. Praise God for 3 whole hours. You need some help beyond your own ability. Thank God there is help beyond your own ability. I just got started, Lord. That is not fair. You need some help. Well, there's that you can get to that place financially. I've done it. I've gotten there where I'm at the end of myself. Several times. I'm just done. As myself, I can't. I didn't say through him I can't. Myself, I can't. That's what Paul was saying. I glory in my infirmity. Because when I get to the place I can't, there is a power that is available that I can tap into. He said, I glory in my infirmities. For whenever I'm weak, I'm strong. Now, that the power, he said there, this is in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, somewhere around 10, somewhere there. He said that the power of Christ might rest upon me. The Amplified says, pitch a tent over me. Paul said, I got to the place I can't deal with this thing. It's opposing me, trying to kill me. The Jews are trying to kill me, shipwrecks, this demon stirring up, everything he can opposing me preaching the gospel. I just, as a human being, don't have the strength. I can't handle this thing. Night and a day left in the deep. Had to go over a wall to live another day, and let down by a basket and stoned to death till he raised up from the dead. You know what I'm talking about? He said, I can't handle this. It's more than a man in the flesh can handle. He said, my strength is made perfect. And Paul, if you'll tap into my power, he said, King James says that the power of Christ will rest on you. The Amplified says, it'll pitch a tent over you. In other words, you're in a place where the devil can't touch you. Paul's basically, or Jesus is basically saying, there's a place, Paul, where it seems like it's happening all around you, but you're in a bubble. Is that what Psalm 91 is talking about? Okay, Psalm 25. I got to wrap this up. One of the things he'll do in this secret place is he'll give you a lot of answers. You read Psalm, or saw Psalm 77, right? Did you write that down? Did you get the, I don't remember the verse number. 13. He's talking about that secret place, and he said, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. You could look at that, and you could say, you could just write by that. In fact, in your notes, you could write down 1 Corinthians 10:13. See, I like to read the Bible in the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost interpret what he's talking about. Yeah. I was reading that one time years ago. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. And I was just meditating on that. And he said, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, remember 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God's faithful, he will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but with the temptation, make a way of escape. The way of escape. There's a way out of everything. Whatever this dark cloud is, whatever this dark cloud is in the future here. Listen, for the church, there's a way right through it. And it's all around, but it's not happening in our lives. How many of you know we're redeemed? And so there's a way. Somebody said, well, how do I find out which way to go, what to do? The way of escape for you is in the presence of God. Spend time talking to him. Use your faith to fellowship with God in the Spirit. Look here at Psalm 25. He's talking about the man that fears the Lord. Verse 12, knows his name, so forth. Verse 12, he said he fears the Lord. The Lord will teach him the way he shall choose. Verse 13, Psalm 25:13. His soul shall dwell at ease. I got a little letter K there in the margin of my Bible. It says, lodge in goodness. That's where I live. How about you? Yes. Son, what's your address? G-O-O-D-N-E-S-S Avenue. Goodness Avenue. Anybody living there with me?
Yes.
His soul shall lodge in goodness. His seed shall inherit the earth. Verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that reverence him, or fear him. King James says fear. Reverence him. He will show them his covenant. The secret of the Lord. That stands out to me. How many of you know there might be a connection between the secret of the Lord and the secret place? You got the Amplified Ann Amplified Armstrong. That's her name. AAA. You're a AAA lady, I'll tell you. All right. Psalm 25:14. The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear, revere, worship him. And all of a sudden, he will show them his covenant. All of a sudden, and reveal to them its deep inner meaning. In other words, in this communion and fellowship with the Lord, all of a sudden, revelation. You see that? Let me read it again. The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear, revere, and worship him, and he will show them his covenant. In other words, reveal. He'll reveal the covenant. And reveal them its deep inner meaning. In other words, revelation starts flowing. In other words, here's how to operate in this. Operate in faith here. Boom, you operate in faith. And it's as if the glory cloud just... you walk right on through whatever the devil's doing and just laugh. Notice, Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities. That means, people read glory there and they think, well, Paul, you're boasting. Read it throughout that same word through the New Testament. It's translated joy, rejoicing. Let me just give you some verses. I don't know if you're ready for another minute or two here. Look at Philippians 3:3. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Same Greek word there translated rejoice is translated glory over there in 2 Corinthians 12. Where he said, I will glory in my infirmities. In other words, I'm going to rejoice right in the middle of my infirmities. Are you following that? I'm gonna how many of you know that's James 1:2? I'm gonna count it all joy. Right in the middle of when I can't do anything, I'm going to go, woo! I got something I can tap into, someone I can tap into that makes the impossible possible. All of a sudden, what was impossible, here I am walking right in it. Praise God. James 1:9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Rejoice, translated the same word, translated glory over there in 2 Corinthians 12:9. 2 Corinthians 10:17, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Same Greek word, glory, glorieth. I'm supposed to glory in the Lord. I'm supposed to count it all joy. I'm supposed to get happy when I can't do it. I'm supposed to exalt in the Lord. I'm supposed to count it all joy. And Paul said when he gets to the place, he just can't handle it anymore. He just goes, woo-hoo, I got to the place where the power kicks in. Now listen, you can kick in the power earlier than that. But listen, what he's saying is you get to the place where finally you release your faith. Some of us think we're going to do it all on our own till we can't. Then we go, oh God! Then God says, okay, I've been right here the whole time. And all of a sudden the power kicks in. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Thank God, thank God, thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Paul's not talking about, when he said, I'll glory in my infirmities or my inability to produce results, he's not talking about boasting about all his tests and trials. People, they boast about, oh, I got this test and trial, I got this test and trial. You know, well, you're just proud, aren't you? Of all your tests and trials. He's not talking about that. He's talking about rejoicing in the power and tapping into the power. See, rejoicing is a faith thing to do. So he's talking about using his faith, isn't he? Hallelujah. About, you know, in reproaches and necessities and all these things. And the thing about, and then he said, the power of God will pitch a tent over me. The thing about a tent is it can go with you. You don't have to leave it when you leave the house. You say, oh, my prayer closet, I wish I could stay here all day. Why don't you pick up the glory and say, I'm going to take the glory to my job today. Take it to your job today. Woo! You can carry it with you wherever you go. You don't have to leave it back there in your prayer closet. Hallelujah. Paul referred to this when he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Well, did you get anything out of the word tonight? Let's go to one more verse, Proverbs 3:32, and I want to see this one in the Amplified. Proverbs 3:22. These are two verses God has used in my life a lot because there's a place, in the secret place where God starts giving you inside information, ideas, wisdom, direction, the way of escape, you name it, counsel, everything you need. Amen. Because he is El Shaddai. And some things you don't need money, you need wisdom. Isn't that right? And he's everything we need. Proverbs 3, look at verse 32, and I'll read this in the Amplified. King James, though, it says, for the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. Anybody have the righteousness of God in Christ? Hallelujah. His secret is with the righteous. Now I got to read this in Amplified. King James is good, but let's just read the second half. His confidential communion and secret counsel are with the uncompromisingly righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with him. In the New Testament, that starts through faith in Jesus' blood. So that's the confidential communion and secret counsel. Notice that word secret there. Somebody said, well, if it's a secret, does that mean I can't know it? No, it's not a secret kept from you. It's a secret kept in a place where only you can go. Nobody else can get it. And the devil don't know what it is. You come out of there going, I got the answer. And the devil goes, what? And you just laugh and laugh, and he goes, what? And you're just laughing and laughing, and he goes, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Now, I'll tell you something about this secret place. The devil can't touch you in that place. The devil can't go in there and listen in that place. He's on the outside, and the door's shut. He's trying to get you to get back out of there. He don't want you spending time in there. So whenever you come out and you're laughing, I mean, it really bugs him. Amen. What if somebody sued you? You go into your lawyer's office and you come out and you go, ha, 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 ha. They go, uh-oh, what? Not telling you. You'll find out. Praise the Lord. Can you see what we're talking about? Yes. This secret place is a place he shares the secrets. Yes. Shares his secrets. It's called the secret place. Hallelujah. It's a place where the spirit of seeing and knowing manifests. Hallelujah. In revelation gifts. It's where the way that the Lord wants you to go is revealed. Hallelujah. Now, this is really what we're talking about is a place of prayer. He's saying those that have a prayer life, they'll get the answers. They spend time in prayer, in the Spirit, in fellowship with him. They'll get answers that will carry them right through whatever this thing is, this dark cloud that's on the horizon. Listen, I have compassion and mercy on the nation, and I want the thing changed for the whole nation. And so we're you know, dealing with that, doing what we can. And I'm asking you, I'm imploring you to help me. We've got to get into the Spirit and deal with that. I can't say we've got on top of it yet. In my spirit, I don't sense we have. But, right on the other hand, even if because of things in the nation, there's some things we can't change, I'm going to make it through it flying colors. Anybody else going to make it through it flying colors? Because I'm going to get all my answers in the secret place. Don't say anymore, I don't know what to do. Say, I've got an unction. Yes. And then spend time using your faith. Say, use your faith.
Use your faith.
Use your faith to practice a lifestyle of fellowship with God in the Spirit. But I don't seem to get anything out of it. That's what faith's for. Whenever it just doesn't seem like you're getting anything out of it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. There is a place, say there's a place, where you dwell under a bubble of his presence. And you got all the answers. You come out of that place laughing and rejoicing, glorying in your infirmities. You say, in your head says, I don't know what to do. And you go, oh, God in the secret place told me exactly what to do. Stand with me to your feet. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Put your faith at that point. You know, a lot of people are running around, oh, I got to put my faith to fix this out here. Put my faith over here, fix this over here. Why don't you put your faith at the point of contact where you access the presence of God, where you get answers for all these things. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Rather than, you know, first on this and that and the other and all of that. Put your faith on drawing near to God. Put your faith on fellowshipping with him in the Spirit. Amen. Make that your home. Where you don't live just, maybe you spend a few minutes with God in the morning and then you go out and you forget about whatever he said to you all morning long. You know what I'm talking about? Or all day long. No, you're just still there in your heart all day long. And you don't engage in conversations that pulls you out of it. You know what I mean? Just fleshy conversations. Hallelujah. In that place, he'll tell you what to do about everything you have need of, everything you're concerned about, everything you're tempted to worry about, every outward area of your life. You'll be walking into the divine know. And also under the protection of God's presence.